All right. Well, good morning, Rock Bible. It's good to be back in one of my most favorite churches in all the world. I feel like I'm coming home here. So man, what a blessing to be back. Tracy and I have been traveling along with our son, Luke, who was here. I think maybe he's getting some coffee. So we've been gone for several weeks. And just to worship the Lord in language that I understand is just so great. And so thank you for the worship. What a blessing. And I want to begin by just saying thank you. That slide should come up if we're kind of connected here. Just thank you, Rock Bible. Yes, this one we are in Vietnam with Pastor Too Hot Scott and Julie and Megan and Jan. And I just want to thank Pastor Scott. I think he may be in Alaska or on his way back, but just thank God for his life and Julie, the blessing they are to me, to you, I know as well, and just really to the kingdom of God around the world. I want to thank you guys as a church. This church family, you're the only church I know in the world, and I know thousands of churches that is supporting more church planters than there are people in the church on a Sunday morning. You're supporting 99 indigenous church planters around the world. You're the only church I know that is like that. This is a special church family, and I just want to thank you big time for that. You'll see this title that we've given for this Sunday, and just God's love, our hands. Can we say that together? God's love, our hands. So when I first thought about this title and the scripture we're going to look at this morning, I begin to think about the hands of Jesus Christ that would actually purposefully walk to the cross and be willing to sacrifice his life, nails into his hands and into his feet as an expression of love, so we would never forget how much he loves us. I thought about Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so what I did when I began studying the scripture, I was in my upstairs room, and this just hit me so hard that I walked down into my garage and I picked up this nail. And I just began to feel it and think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I thought, what a fitting way to begin our service to just hand you each one of these nails. Because I think that as Christians and in the church, we hear about the love of God all the time, but it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. We become numb to it. And I think sometimes we need something physical to remind us of the spiritual. That there is a God that sent his son. My son is right there. I'm looking at him. I can't imagine ever allowing him to be nailed to the cross as an expression of love. And yet this is the God that loves you and demonstrated that, a demonstration of love. And so the whole point of this service may be God wants you to know how much he loves you. And some of you, you just need to be reminded of that. We're going to talk about a lot of things today, but maybe that's your takeaway, that you are just awestruck by how much God loves you. And so I want to invite you to hold this nail through the entire sermon, if you like, and then take it home and place it in a particular spot, and we're going to build on that for sure. You know, all of us have a story of how God's love invaded our life. Do you remember that for you? When his love literally came into our hearts, invaded us, and transformed our life so that we would become, watch this, the loving hands of God to a lost world. And so a little bit about my story. Just, I'm a Bay Area guy, grew up in Castro Valley. Actually went to San Ramon. I went, the first time California High opened up, it was a junior high and high school. That was I went there in my seventh grade year. And then we moved to Castro Valley. My parents dedicated me to the ministry before I was born, but they never told me about that. My problem is that I had a serious drug problem growing up. My parents seriously drugged me to church every single Sunday. Any of you grow up with that kind of drug problem? Any of you have experienced that? My son's raising his hand right now. Yeah. I mean, and their prayers were finally answered when I was 20 years old. This is what we pray for, our kids, you know, that they would trust Christ, that his love would come into their lives. And I surrendered my life to Jesus, and I just said, Lord, if you will save me, I will tell the world about you. And God's love came into my life, exploded in my life. And God gave me a love for his word, he gave me a love for evangelism, and he gave me a love for missions. And that love would begin to take me all over the world to be God's loving hands. It led me to over 60 countries preaching the gospel. And then my entire life in ministry was absolutely turned upside down when God brought me to China in 2001. This next slide is going to show you a picture of the world. And China is in the far right of where that is blue. So I want us to think about the world for a second. Psalm 33 verse 13 says, from heaven the Lord looks down and he sees all mankind, all womankind. God sees the world, everyone at one time, knows everyone by name, loves every person on this planet, 8.2 plus billion people. When you look at this world, what does God also see? You see the little light gray area of the world? That's what we call the reached areas of the world. The gospel has gone there. The church is there. That doesn't mean everyone is a Christian there, but they have access to the gospel. The church has been planted in those areas. The dark blue area, that's what we call the least reached area of the world. That's where it's called the 1040 window, 10 to 40 degrees north of the equator, Asia, India, and Africa. That represents the least reached people of the world. Did you know today there are still 1 out of 3 people in the world have never heard the name of Jesus? Have never heard the name of Jesus. Those people that have never heard the name of Jesus, they live in that dark blue area, 1040 window. The least reached people of the world. And when you think about the Great Commission, Jesus gave us that, right? Matthew 28, 19 to 20, he said, therefore, go make disciples of all the what? All the what? Nations. That word nations, ethnos, it means people groups. Make disciples of all the nations. That dark blue area, that's the target, the final frontier of the Great Commission. Everything else has been reached. Doesn't mean everyone's a Christian, but they have access to the gospel. That blue area, that is the target of the Great Commission. And one of the things that hit me as I was growing in my faith and as a pastor is that this blew my mind away when I heard this. 60% of the countries in that dark blue area, 60%, American missionaries can't go there. You can't go there and preach the gospel and plant house churches freely without being greatly persecuted. So the question comes to me as an evangelist, as a missionary, how can we complete the Great Commission in that dark blue area if we can't even go there? How? That answer was given to me in China, and it just wrecked my world. Have you ever had your world just completely wrecked? You thought, I thought I would be a pastor of one church, and all of a sudden God changed everything in one moment. They put me into, once we landed into China, they put me into a van with darkened windows, raced me down the street, and then ran me through with my luggage through a market into another van with darkened windows, and we're ripping down the street. I'm like, we are trying to shake the police. I go, this is wild. This is 2001 in China. And we come outside of this large city into a rural area, and I come to this big, dark compound in front of me, big iron gates open, and we race through, and the big iron gates close behind me, and I'm face-to-face with 40 Chinese pastors. And they just wanted to hear the Bible taught. And so we go inside. It's one. You can see a picture of me teaching the Bible right here. I never thought I'd show this picture. But this is back in 2001, China. And they just want, I taught the Bible for 6 hours. They just want, they're taking notes and just listening. And this is kind of surreal to me, but I'm used to preaching the Bible all over the world. And then we go to bed. And they say, Pastor, you have to sleep with your shoes on. Why? Well, if we get raided by the police, you have to run. I'm going, where am I going to run? I don't know the language. I don't even know where I'm at. This is my introduction to the suffering, persecuted church. I didn't know it at the time, but this is my introduction. God had orchestrated all this. So I go to bed that night. 4:30 in the morning, my life was changed. I didn't realize it, but it was absolutely changed. Everything turned upside down. I wake up to go to the bathroom. We're in one big room, just like this. One room. There was a curtain that separated me from them. They gave me a little privacy, but I had to go up and use the bathroom, and I come around the corner, in this next picture, you'll see it. All these church planters, 40 of them, were all on their faces on the ground, like crying out to God for their nation. Not so loud that they would wake me up, but I saw them 4:30 in the morning, and I just started weeping. I'd never seen Christians this dedicated, pastors so passionate. And it just blew my mind away. And I went back to my little cot, and I just was crying. God was doing a work in my life. I didn't understand it. Holy Spirit was just working. And then after a little breakfast, they want me to resume teaching. And I said, no, you must teach me. I need to wash your feet. I go, who are you people? And they began telling me their stories, how they'd all been persecuted, all been in prison, tortured. They're telling me about fingernails being ripped out because they would not deny Jesus Christ. And I am weeping, I am crying, I am wrecked. And then they started telling me about the glorious side of their church. One pastor stands up, he says, I lead a movement of 1 million people are in my house church network. I said, excuse me, translator, do you say 100? No, 1 million? I'm like, 1 million? I didn't realize they were so organized. Another pastor, 5 million in his network, another 15 million. I realize I'm with the leading church planters in all of China in this room. And I'm being introduced to something I didn't know exists. And today I travel the United States, and you know 99% of churches in the United States don't even know that the house church movement exists. The most exciting, dynamic, spiritual movement on our planet is the house church movement. Most Christians in the United States and pastors don't even know it exists. They're used to traditional churches like this. You know, there's 24 million churches in the world today. 22 million are house churches. Only 2 million churches like a traditional church with a cross on it. The vast majority of Christians that you're going to be in heaven one day, they're from a house church, not a traditional church. And God is at work today fulfilling the Great Commission. He is not doing it in traditional churches. They're supporting the house church movement like you guys are. But most churches in the United States, they don't even know it exists. They have no clue. And I didn't have a clue about it. And I'm a missionary and a pastor until I'm in China. I'm being introduced to this and it's blowing my mind. And I say to them, what can we do? What can I do to help you? They said, pray. We're so persecuted. But also, if we had $50 a month, it would really help us. We could serve God full time. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I get on a plane to go home. God says to me, for the rest of your life, you will support the house church movement. That's a mandate from God. I didn't know what to do with it. I got in the pulpit where I'm pastoring a church, and I just said, I just had the most amazing experience. I met the most amazing people. We need to start supporting them. And we started. And then God said, start a global missions ministry. And the first pastor I talked to was your pastor, Scott. I said, Scott, this is the vision God's given me. And he looks at me, he goes, Mark, when can we start? Scott got it. You got an amazing pastor. We started with one, so 360 Serve was born. We started with one church planter. You guys supported that. Today, not 1,000, not 2,000, 3,499 church planters are now being supported. You guys started this. This is why I'm telling you this. In 24 of the least reached countries of the world, because this is being recorded, I can't give you exact numbers, but well over last year, well over 1 million people came to Christ. Well over 10,000 house churches were planted. Well over 100,000 believers were baptized. You guys have been a key part in all this. So God put on my heart a scripture to give to you guys today to just love on you more than anything. And it's this. It's 1 John 3:18. Can we read this out loud together? This is the word of God. Let's just read this out. Can we do it? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I just want you to see it right now, that scripture, and just as we read it, take it in. I'm going to teach on it later, but what I want to do right now is I want to tell you stories of how God is using you, Rock Bible, as a church to broadcast the gospel all over the world in action and in truth, love is going out. And we can't cover every country, but I'm going to bring you to four countries you guys support and tell you stories that are pretty cool. That's Pastor Daniel, you'll see, from Vietnam. You guys were the first church to ever support this pastor and his movement in Vietnam in Christian history. And I just want to thank you for supporting, watch this, 46 indigenous church planters, literally from this church. You guys support 46 in Vietnam. It's amazing. Daniel just wrote for me and sent me this picture, and this is his story. He was on his motorcycle because the Sanche had been reached in North Vietnam. Like, you guys brought this about. You've given them Bibles. You gave them the first Bible. God has used this church in ways globally that you are never going to know until you get to heaven. I can't even tell how many stories. But he's on his motorcycle. He's driving. He said, I drove 150 miles to other Sanche tribes to bring the gospel, and I had to go through treacherous conditions, jungles, mudslides. And finally, his motorcycle stopped. It would not go any further because of the condition. And he said, I walked another 10 miles, and I'm going to an unreached people of the Sanche. And he says, God filled my heart with love, and I was so excited, and I brought with me three audio Bibles that you guys helped provide, and I gave them one to each of the women that you see here. And he says, the woman on the left was bedridden for 16 years. Demons possessed her, 16 years in bed. Daniel says, I prayed for her, and instantly she was healed. Because of her healing and her walking around the village, 30 people came to Jesus in that very moment. They all began listening to God's word through that audio Bible in their own mother tongue. And Daniel says, thank you for your support, Rock Bible. He knows about you guys. And please pray for this new house church that was started because of this miracle. This would not be happening without this church. In the last 6 months, through just the church planters you support, next slide, you will see there have been 609 new believers. Just, this is you guys. Five new house churches have been started, all miracles. 358 people have been baptized. That's just one country. Let's bring you to Ethiopia, the next one. Here you support four indigenous church planters in Ethiopia. And the church planters you support in Ethiopia, they go straight for 100% Muslim villages. I want you to imagine yourself being an Ethiopian church planter. Your goal is to walk into a completely total Muslim village. There's not one Christian. Actually, Jesus has never been introduced. No one knows the name of Christ. And you're going to walk in there and you're going to plant a house church. How would you do that? Now, this will not make sense to us, but this is the power of the gospel and what God is doing today and how his love is breaking through. So Mazu, he will go into these villages that have never heard the name of Jesus. He will go in, and what will he do? He will look for the most demon-possessed person in that village. He will go up to them and cast out the demon in the name of Jesus. The person is healed, and guess what? You have a crowd, and they're willing to listen to the truth you have because your God is greater than theirs. And he preaches Christ. Mazu is on his way to one of those villages. And as he's coming through the jungle, because these villages are always in the rural areas where the least reached people live, they're hardest to get to. As he comes toward this village, a cheetah comes out of the bushes, literally a cheetah. Oftentimes, animals are even demon-possessed. We just came from a country, Adam and Nicobar Islands. You would not believe that the animals that are possessed and are attacking our church planters. You bring me back in about a month or so, I'll tell you that story. You would not believe what's happening there. But Cheetah, whether he was hungry or possessed, we don't know, but was stalking this young church planter. You see him. And Mazu, and just in faith, said, in the name of Jesus, stand still. And the cheetah just froze. People in the village are seeing what's going on. They're all Muslim. They see this. And they're like, what the heck? They come out, you got a crowd around them, and Mazu talks about how Jesus has power over the animal kingdom. He's the creator of all and preaches the gospel, people come to Christ, and that's how house churches get started. It starts with a group of people that come to Christ. In Ethiopia itself, you've got, in just the last 6 months, 498 new believers. You guys. 26 new house churches started, and 206 people have been baptized. These are Muslims turning to Christ through your support. Springing to China. China is a self-proclaimed atheistic country. The church planters you support in China, they go after 100% atheistic villages. Villages that had never heard the name of Jesus. Song is she's known the Lord for 4 years. She's led over 1,000 people to Christ. She's planted, I believe, over 80 house churches. She's amazing. She's in one of those house churches that she started, actually four stories up in an apartment complex. And she's leading a Bible study. By the way, 10,000 people turn to Christ in China every day. It's incredible what God's doing in China. You don't hear anything in the media about what God's doing in China, but it's phenomenal. And she's upstairs, she's doing a Bible study. 40 new believers are on the ground. They're taking in the Bible as she's teaching the Bible. And she gets on her phone, and the phone rings, and it's a friend on the other end that says, "Hey, you need to pray, because two squads of police are running upstairs right now. They heard you're having a Bible study. You can't gather as a people in the name of Jesus in China. You'll be arrested, thrown into prison." So these police officers are running upstairs. She says, "Let's pray right now." She's leading them in prayer. They're quietly seated down. Where can they go? Nowhere. The police break through the door, and they run inside of the room, and they're looking all over, and they look at Song, and they say, "Well, excuse us, pardon," and they walk out. And only God blinded the eyes of all these police officers. They could not see 40 new believers just sitting there praying. This is what God is doing today. It's like the book of Acts. You say, "Mark, why aren't these things happening in the United States?" Because our country is reached. Do you understand that? Yes, there are miracles that happen in the United States, but not at the level of what's happening there. Why? Because God's compassion and love and kindness is being poured out to anyone who would be willing to go to a least reached area. You have thousands and thousands, billions of people that have never heard that there's a God that loves them, that when they die, they go to hell. And if you are willing to go to these areas, we just came back from the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. There are miracles that are happening everywhere. This is what your God is doing today. As Christians, you need to be aware of what the Lord is doing and how God is using you as a church. And in China, in just the last just few months, what God has done, here we go. You got 768 new believers, 28 house churches started, 92 baptisms through the church planters you're supporting. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah to that? It's amazing. Let me bring you to India. Here, India is, that's little Manju, I call her. I call her little because I'm on my knees taking this picture with her. But she is big spiritually. So she used to be the most demon-possessed person in her village. She brought shame to her family because she'd run around naked. She was out of her mind. In India, they worship 333 million gods who are demons. She was demon-possessed. You worship demons, demons will possess you. And so she's this condition. A church planter comes in, can see where she's at, casts out the demon. She just falls in love with Jesus, gets church planter training. And now she's led over 2,000 people to Christ because of her testimony. 12 house churches she averages planting every year. In just the last 6 months, again, you guys, as a church, through the church planters you support, this is what you've seen. 2,130 new believers, 87 house churches started, 158 baptisms. So I just want to say thank you, Rock Bible. The next slide. You're supporting 99 indigenous church planters in 10 of the least reached countries of the world. This is the Great Commission. You're living it out. You are living out. Remember, Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he gave us one command. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is a church that is doing that. You're doing the final instructions of Jesus Christ. Do you know the last six words that Jesus preached or said before he ascended into heaven? To the ends of the earth. If your life is not about to the ends of the earth, wow. Church, we're a mission-minded. Jesus died for us, so we would be on mission with him to complete the Great Commission to the ends of the earth. Yes, the gospel here. Yes, the gospel everywhere, but especially to the ends of the earth. And this is a church that gets it, and I praise God for that. So, just in the last 6 months here, just to summarize, you've seen 4,138 new believers, 140 house churches started, 856 baptisms to the glory of God. You say, why is this happening? And this is what I want to bring us back to. Because of God's love and our hands. See, God is sovereign in who gets saved. He's sovereign. No one is saved apart from God's sovereign choice and work in that person's life. But God has ordained that our hands be involved in the equation and that we are those that are supporting the gospel being preached, which is necessary for salvation. And God loves the people of Vietnam and Ethiopia and China and India. And it just amazes me how God's love has transformed the lives of these 99 indigenous church planters. All of them have absolutely amazing testimonies. They're all willing to go to the ends of the earth in their country and tell people for the first time that they've ever heard about the love of God. Their challenge is they lack support. They live in poverty. They're persecuted. Greatly. Romans 10:15 says, how can they preach unless they are sent? And then it amazes me that God has invaded the lives of these people, my brothers and sisters, at Rock Bible Church U, some 10,000 miles away from the least reached people groups in the world. And your hands, because God has transformed you, have become God's loving hands. And now this church, like no other church in the world, is supporting 99 church planters, more church planters than any church in the world per capita. That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You're sending them into full-time gospel ministry. The result, an amazing miracle of love. 4,138 new believers, 140 house churches started, 856 new believers baptized in just the last 6 months. And guess what? When you get to heaven, you're going to meet them all. God's going to bring them all together. Wow. The United States, this country, has been blessed to be a blessing to the nations. No other country has been blessed like our country. I want us to take one more look here, 1 John 3:18. So John, the disciple that Jesus loved, he's the one who wrote the book of Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, book of Revelation. And he's penning this, and he writes this, dear children, that's being spoken to not kids, but Christians. He said, dear believers, dear Christians. And then he gives us this command, let us not love with words or speech. That's not saying not let, he's not saying don't make sure, he's not saying don't, you know, speak and it not be loving. He's just saying, don't just love with words and speech only. I think you probably know someone that, you know, they say, oh, I love you. But do they really? It's just words. They say that. Or maybe someone that says, hey, be warm and be fed. Words. But it's not action. It's not truth. Love here, agape, that's the Greek word for love right here. That's the love of God. That's a self-sacrificing love. It's the love that would move his son to go and demonstrate that love with actions and in truth on the cross. And John is saying here, make sure you love with action and in truth. There is no biblical love apart from action. And true love is love that is action-oriented. It's backed up, not just words, it's backed up with action. I received a letter from a church planter you support in Vietnam, and they wanted me to read this to you. This is one of your church planters. This is their letter to you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to express my deep appreciation for the monthly support you provide. You help me go to distant villages and spread the gospel and bring many people to the Lord. I remember that I'm not serving alone. Your love and partnership are with me. I'm so thankful to the Lord and for all of you, and ask God to continue to bless you abundantly, Pastor Van. Dear children, let us not love with words and speech, but with actions and in truth. If you're looking for like a convicting message this morning, I don't have it. The message is, thank you for living this out, Rock Bible Church. Thank you for loving brothers and sisters who you will only meet in heaven with love and truth. You are literally feeding them. The average personal wage in these countries is $1 to $2 a day. You are supporting their entire family. Whenever we travel, they always just please tell everyone that we support how much we love them. Thank you for living the scripture out. I'll never forget a 17-year-old teenager that came up to me. I was preaching in Thailand. And I could see in the front row, he's literally in the front row, and just tears are welling up in his eyes. I'm like, what's this kid's got a story? And he came up to me after I'm preaching, and he said to me, he goes, I want to be just like you. And I thought, wow. And then I said, why? And he said, because of my brother. I said, okay. I go, where's your brother? And he said, in prison. I was really confused, just like you are right now. I go, tell me your story. He says, well, Pastor, he goes, my brother is just a year older than me. I'm 17. I've hated my brother because he was the first Christian in our family. He brought shame to our family. We're Buddhists. And I've hated him ever since he gave his life to Christ. But I'm 17, I just got my license, my driver's license. And I was driving home. Pastor, I didn't see the little boy. I was just a block away from our house, and I came through this intersection, and I literally ran over the little boy and killed him instantly. I literally lost my mind, and I just left the scene, and I ran home. I came into the house, and only my older brother was there. And I, in tears, share with him what happened. And my older brother said, you stay here, I will take care of it. And the older brother ran back to the accident. And he said to me, he goes, Pastor, my brother looks just like me. And that older brother took the blame. He is in prison. Jesus, your older brother, went to the cross. And you are free today because of that great sacrifice of love. And this brother looks at me and he says, I want to be like you. I gave my life to Jesus Christ because of that love, because of his sacrifice. Love is the most powerful force on earth when accompanied by action and truth. Think about that. There's no more powerful anything on earth than love when it is accompanied with action and truth. Because action and in truth, love always points back to the originator, which is Jesus Christ. That's powerful. So maybe the question, the challenging question for us to ask this morning is, who is God calling me to show his love to in action and in truth? Maybe that's the challenge this morning. I think sometimes the most challenging people for us to love are actually those that we're closest to. Family members, some that you've known for years. The person that you're picturing right now that maybe most the Holy Spirit speaking about most needs your love, the love of God. You see, that person can be one act of love away from their life being totally transformed. That's the power of love. Beloved, dearly beloved, let us not love with words and speech only, but action and in truth. Who needs action and in truth love from you? Who is that? Let the Lord speak to you. Let him speak to me. I want to wrap up by telling you the story of Pastor Frank. There you go. Pastor Frank, he is 103 years old. Now, he's the guy on the right, not the guy on the left. Some of you, I know, you're thinking these things. But most likely, he's the oldest church planter in the world. I'm sure he is. I met him 3 years ago when he was merely 100, just a young buck. His story, when I met him, I was like, I can't believe you're 100. I go, tell me your story. He goes, well, I was a witch doctor for years, and my wife got cancer, and I did all these incantations and things on her, but nothing helped. A church planter came in. He says, do you mind if I pray in the name of Jesus for your wife? And he did, and she was healed. And I said, what I'm doing is nothing. Jesus, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. So far, the guy's led to Christ 4,000 people, and he's planted 80 house churches. And I'm just blown away at who he is and his age. And so I said to him, I said, Pastor Frank, I go, what can I do for you? How can I honor you? And he says, I need a motorcycle. He goes, I need a motorcycle. I want to plant more house churches. It's hard for me to walk, you know. And I'm like, wow. I go, well, let me find out. You know, we have dozens and dozens, hundreds of motorcycles away to church planters. $50 a month, but we also get them the tools they need to share the gospel, Bibles, you guys know. And so I went to our movement leader. Everything gets approved by a movement leader because they know the culture and everything. I said, hey, can we get Pastor Frank a motorcycle? And he said, no, it'll kill him. I said, he's already got one foot in the grave, doesn't he? I go, seriously, I mean, it'll kill him? It'll help him. He goes, no, get him a bicycle. And I go, okay. So we got him a really nice bicycle. He's driving around that thing, 100 years old. 103, I end up meeting him, and now he's 103. And this is just a few months ago. I take the picture of him, and there he is. He was trying to tell me something, but we had no translator. I just finished preaching, and everyone was getting ready. We're going to the next meeting, and there was no translator. And so we hugged. I took that picture, and we take off. We get in our van, and we're driving down the street. And all of a sudden, we get a text that comes to through our movement leader, and he goes, Mark, you will not believe what I just received. And I go, well, what did you receive? He goes, I got a video, Pastor Frank. Like, I can't believe this video. I'm going to show it to you in a second. And he's like, so you look at this video, it's like Pastor Frank went out and he got a motorcycle. Somehow he borrowed a motorcycle. And somehow at 103 years old, he's riding the motorcycle. And somehow he paid someone to videotape him riding the motorcycle. And here's the picture. Here's the video. Let's see if we can show that to you guys. As far as I know, that is the first time he's ever ridden a motorcycle. So, next slide, we got him a motorcycle, okay? We did. Now the oldest church planter in the world, 103 years old, riding a motorcycle, planting churches. So why do I share with you this story? I think all of us want to be like Pastor Frank. I know I do. I'm like, are you kidding me? 103 years old, that kind of passion? We want to be infused with God's love and serve as God's loving hands to a lost world for as many years as God would have us. Amen? This is what we want to be, like Christ, filled with his love, sharing his love to even 103, if God would give us that grace. Let me give you three concluding thoughts. These are heart thoughts. I don't want you to write them down. I want you just to think about these things. Number one, God loves you more than you could ever imagine. If you doubt that, please take this home. Feel it, ponder it, think about the cross. You did nothing to earn God's love. You can do nothing to lose God's love. God's love is fixed for you. Some of you need to rest in God's love. You need to feel God's love. You need to experience God's love. God did not give you his love and save you so you would forget about how much God loves you. God's love is so deep and wide and eternal and beyond comprehension. And for some of you, God brought you here this morning so you could walk out of here saying, oh God, help me to grasp how much you love me. Take this nail, put it somewhere, and ever remember just how much God loves you. Because he loves you more than you could ever imagine or conceive. Second thing I'd like to say, God loves this church more than anyone in this church could ever imagine. This is one of the most special churches in the world. When God looks at the church, he redeemed the church to be on mission. You are on mission carrying out the Great Commission in a way that I know of no other church. There are churches that support hundreds and thousands of church planters. But per capita, I know people in this room who make minimum wage that are supporting church planters. And I just, you don't know, that touches my life. It just moves me. If that moves me, what does that do to the heart of God? Hallelujah. Would you do me a favor and would you just raise your hands? Just everyone raise their hands. Everyone. And I want you to look around. I want you to look at all these hands that are raised. Just turn around. Look at them all. Just look at all those hands. Those are the loving hands of God. There is a story behind all of those hands that are raised. You can put them down. God's love, our hands in partnership. God's love is going out. And my prayer for you, simply, is that God would continue to fill you with his love and you'd keep being God's loving hands in action and in truth to a lost world. Because love is the most powerful force on earth when it is connected with action and in truth. If you're here this morning and like when I ask you to raise your hands, you're like, Pastor Mark, you know, I don't know if I have the experience of God's love invading my life. That can be just a prayer away. God loves you so much. He wants you to live with that love. That can be yours through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the amazing love of God. How can it be that a Savior, Jesus, spotless, perfect, holy, would go and sacrifice his life on a cross, receive those nails in his hands and his feet because of his great love? For God so loved the world, so loved me. That's amazing. And if you're here and just, you know, I realize this isn't, you know, thousands of people here. But I cannot preach a message like this on the cross without giving you the opportunity to experience the love of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe you've been coming to church. I don't know. Maybe you just walked in. I don't know all of you personally. But I know God knows you deeply. And if you want God's love to just come into you, a Christian is one in whom God dwells. His love dwells. His presence dwells. That miracle can happen right now through faith in Jesus Christ. And if that's why God has brought you here, so you would know for sure Christ lives in you and his love invades your soul, every part of your being, like it did for my life when I trusted him, I want to lead you in this prayer. Here's a prayer you can pray quietly to God, silently to God. Dear God, I am a sinner. You know everything about my life. I know my sin separates me from you. But I thank you, God, that you did not stop there. You sent your son to die on a cross and as an expression of love. He took those nails. He shed his blood so I could have total forgiveness of sins and that your eternal life and your love would come flooding into my soul. I do not want to live my life apart from you. I want you as my Savior and Lord. And I'm just asking for your love to invade me, your presence to invade me by faith right now. I'm trusting you for this miracle in my life. I want to dwell with you forever in heaven, and I'm asking for this gift of everlasting life and your love to invade my heart right now. If that's you, and you prayed that prayer this morning, trusting Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I just want to pray for you. Would you just make eye contact with me and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Today is my day. And I just trusted the Lord. I see some of you. Thank you for even looking up. Yes, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Yes. Wow, God, you see these hearts. Lord, I pray your presence, your power to come into their lives. Lord, just unseal this beautiful covenant that you make possible because of your death and resurrection. You see every heart. I pray that you would fill every neck and nook and whatever that is, that phrase. You just fill us. You're that kind of God. And Lord, for those of us who know you, but we've kind of forgotten just how awesome your love is, we just say, God, help me to experience and know that deep love of God. Holy Spirit, right now, touch my life with your love. Renew my heart in the amazing love of God. I need that. Thank you for hearing this prayer, God, and blessing your people. And Lord, as we worship you now, as the offering plate gets passed, Lord, may we just express our love to you in this tangible way, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Where would we be without the Lord's presence? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. Hey, three things. Number one, if you trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, and just you prayed that prayer, you know, in salvation, asking Christ to come into your life, please talk to Pastor Scott. Please talk to me. Talk to our pastor. Talk to a leader. It's important you confess to someone what you have done so we can help you in next steps. Just growing in your faith, I'm here. I would love to just pray over you and hear that even this morning. That would be an honor. Second, if you want to learn more about 360 Serve, we love to bless people all over the United States. And you can sign up for our Good News Update. It's a story. How many of you got it yesterday? Well, I think probably there's almost everyone in this church gets it. But we send out a Saturday update. It's free. And I will tell you one story that will blow your mind, give you a scripture. Every Saturday, we get so much negative news, don't we? It's like we need some positive news. And you need to hear every week what God's doing around the world. And so in the back somewhere, Tracy, my wife, has put a sign-up sheet. And we'll just put your name and email. We'll give that to you every Saturday. Trust me, it will encourage you. We get so many emails every week. Thank you, Mark, for sending these out. I need that kind of perspective. But God is also at work in the nations. We love for you to receive that. And third, what was I going to say? I want to give you a benediction. I guess that's what it is. My benediction would be just this from the Lord. May God just fill you with a renewed sense of his amazing love for you. And would he send you from here, just invigorated by his love, to share his love to whoever he would lead you in action and in truth. Knowing that is the most powerful force on earth you've experienced. And now pass it on. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great Sunday.